A sigh of relief. Everybody who is a fan of the Raiders, collectively, we all partook in a big sigh of relief because Josh McDaniels is gone. Now, look, I've made it a point on this show to express my, you know, displeasure with Josh McDaniels. I kind of figured this was going to happen. I did not think in any way that it was going to happen mid-season. And yet, Halloween turned into Christmas morning for a lot of Raider fans. That was genuinely, it genuinely put a massive smile on my face. And I kind of hate saying that because at the end of the day, you have somebody who's losing their job and, you know, they have a family and this is very real that they're, you know, now out of the job. But from a fan's perspective, I think if you're a Raider fan, Josh McDaniels being out of the building, Aiden O'Connell starting at quarterback, that is the best thing that could have happened for the remainder of the season, and it's not even close. So I am so excited for the remainder of the season. I don't know what is going to happen. I'm not expecting them to do well, but I'm expecting to be excited for every single game, which I was not to start this season. So that's kind of what I'm feeling. Sam, I'm feeling good, dude.
You should be. There's now some hope with the Raiders with a 3-5 Raiders team. I mean, that team has an outside chance of making the playoffs.
I don't know about that, but they're not mathematically dead.
When was the last time they made the playoffs, Jason?
When was the last time they made the playoffs? That would have been the Rich Bisaccia year, the 10-7 year when they lost to the Bengals. So 2021, 2022.
How weird would that be if you have two seasons where a team is underperforming with a lot of talent, that head coach who's signed to a long-term deal is out, and the interim coach leads them to the playoffs?
Yeah, you know, I hadn't put two and two together on that, but you are 100% right. It would be hilarious if that did end up happening. I also hadn't heard my dad say that, so I'm assuming if he's listening to this right now, he's kicking himself for not having made that comparison. Maybe he did and just didn't say that to me, but I guarantee you if he didn't, then I'm going to receive a text the moment he listens to this episode. But you're 100% right. I mean, everything that could have gone wrong went wrong for the Raiders that season, whether it was the John Gruden thing or the tragedy that be, you know, with the Henry Ruggs situation. People quitting, you know, in the organization that year. They had every right to fall apart as a team and as an organization that year. And they didn't. They rallied behind, you know, their quarterback and they rallied behind their coach. And somehow they made it to the playoffs. You're right. This situation is not much different. It is a little bit different, but it's not much different, I guess, if we're just trying to be draw a simple comparison between the two. So is it possible? Sure. I mean, your upcoming next two games are against the Giants and the Jets. So you're not facing the Titans of the NFL world right now. Could you theoretically?
Yeah, the Titans are in Tennessee.
Right, exactly. And actually, I haven't checked the score. Did they win? They were up last time I checked.
So currently they're losing 20-16.
Well, hopefully George Pickens scored a touchdown, which I don't think he has. I have him starting.
Deontay Johnson scored.
Last time I checked, Pickens had one reception for -2 yards. So,
good day.
Yeah, so that really hasn't helped me against Bryson. Anyway, they play against the Giants and Jets. Those two teams aren't amazing. They're home for both of those games, so you don't have to travel anywhere. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could string something together on those two. Then you end up getting the Dolphins and the Chiefs. That's going to be difficult. But four of your next five games. No, six of your next. Yeah. I'm looking at their schedule like in totality right now. So they play, I'll give you an order. They're home against the Giants, home against the Jets, on the road against the Dolphins, and then they're home for three games, Chiefs, Vikings, Chargers. So they don't have a lot of travel that they have to do over the next 6 weeks. And their bye is going to be worked in there. as well. So, I mean, I guess it's possible, but I think the fact that they still have to play the Dolphins, the Chiefs twice, and the Chargers, they have to go to Indianapolis on the road. Is it possible? I guess. Do I expect it to happen? No. More than anything, I'm just excited to – honestly, I'm just excited to watch Aiden play and maybe see if the offense looks any different with a new play caller and a new quarterback, because in conjunction with the Josh McDaniel thing, the Jimmy Garoppolo benching happened, which I guess, you know, makes sense because Josh McDaniels and Jimmy Garoppolo were inherently going to be tied together. So if you get rid of one, it makes sense to, you know, get rid of the other, just wipe the slate completely clean. And if you're the Raiders, you have to go into next season knowing the answer to the question of whether or not Aiden O'Connell is going to be your quarterback moving forward. You have to have that question answered because it's going to make your draft day strategy completely different. Now, my dad had thrown out the suggestion that he thought the reason why the Raiders hadn't dealt Devontae Adams was because if they are going to eventually trade him, that it would make sense maybe to do it on draft day. And I think you would do it on draft day if you were planning on moving up to draft a quarterback. If they don't have to draft up, I mean, if they don't have to move up to get a quarterback because Aiden plays well, I still don't know. And I don't know. If you were listening to Devontae's comments this, you know, today, he was talking about how much he loves our interim head coach right now. He said he was already ready to run through a wall for the guy, which is great to hear. In the one press conference that I heard from Pierce, was significantly better than anything I ever heard from Josh McDaniels in the locker room after a win. That guy couldn't motivate me to eat a sandwich.
Well, they're polar opposites, right? You have a guy that's doing his best Bill Belichick imitation and trying to give you nothing. And then you have Antonio Pierce, who is his own man, a former player, knows exactly what these guys are looking for. My biggest question mark for them, you laid out their schedule moving forward. I think there's a lot of opportunities there for them to put something together. But when you take out a guy that's not only the head coach, but also the creator of this offensive scheme and the play caller, is that just too much turnover for a team to flip on its head, especially when I think your bye week is, what, week 13 or 14? Like, they have a late bye week.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It's after the Chiefs game. So the Chiefs game is on November 26th, and then they'll play on December 10th. So, yeah, it's late in the season.
Right. So, I mean, we've definitely seen it, like, immediate improvement from teams. I mean, heck, last year with Jeff Saturday, the Colts looked immediately better.
Guess who they beat?
They looked immediately better in a short period of time, but once that season progressed, then you sort of see the pitfalls in it, and I hope and the Steelers end up winning.
There we go.
I hope that this team just shows a little bit more fight and a little bit more fun. Cool. And pretty much every single player, like star player that's on the Raiders, has a quote of the energy is just different. Like, the culture just seems different. Like, there's a weight that's lifted off the organization. And a part of that is probably losing. Like, if they were winning a lot of games, I don't think that sort of feeling would be there. But I think it's also having to do with McDaniels and a lot of these guys that are coming from that Patriots organization trying to do what Belichick and the Patriots did with that head down, treating everyone the same, like different things like hard nose style of trying to build a culture just really didn't resonate with this organization.
So listen to this. This is from the Broncos Wire. This is one of their websites. They laid out a stat saying that McDaniels now has the dubious distinction of being the first non-interim head coach in NFL history to be fired by two different franchises before the end of his second season. Obviously, that stint was with the Broncos and then now with the Raiders. And there's another one right here that's saying Raiders players seem pretty happy Josh McDaniels was fired. Look, I don't know And that was the title of an article from Yahoo Sports. I mean, none of us are ever truly going to know how the players genuinely feel. I think from everything that I'm reading, they all acknowledge that it was time for a change. Maybe there are some players in that organization that really connected with Josh. Maybe nobody did. I don't know. But there seems to at least be a consensus that there was that this a change needed to be made. And I'm again, I did not expect it to happen mid-season, but a good point that I heard being made about doing it mid-season is that it lengthens your runway for deciding who your next coach is going to be. Maybe it ends up being Pierce. I don't know. But
maybe it's Jim Harbaugh.
Maybe it's Jim Harbaugh.
I've seen that thrown around because of the recent allegations towards right. Michigan. Maybe he just jumps ship and goes to Vegas.
Right.
That'd be a perfect place for him.
Yeah, that would be an interesting interesting match. But at the end of the day, it does give you a lot of time to make your decision on who your next head coach is going to be. And I would like to say that I do keep hearing a lot of people pointing out the fact that the Raiders have had like four different head coaches in 3 years. But let's sort of take into account the circumstances around those four coaches. John Gruden was signed to a long-term mm-hmm. deal. That wasn't
he could still be the coach of the team.
Right, yeah. He still would be. I mean, he was – Mark Davis was going to let that ride out. He signed him to a 10-year deal, $100 million. They had a long-term plan in place. Obviously, what happened with Gruden happened. Then we got Rich Bisaccia. So that's two. For reasons known only to Mark Davis, he decided to part ways with Rich Bisaccia. I'll still yep. never understand that. They bring in McDaniels, and then McDaniels gets fired after a second season, and then there is our fourth coach. So it's not – I understand that the John Gruden thing sort of led to all of this, but let's not ignore the fact – that Mark Davis was planning with John Gruden to have a long-term – I said planning, but he had a long-term plan in place with John Gruden and was going to let that ride out. So I understand that the criticisms about the Raiders having a ton of head – like 12 head coaches in the past, like – I think or like 8 head coaches in the past 12 years, I think was the number. I get it. But – again, there was a moment in time where a long-term plan was in place. That just got blown up for things that Mark Davis could not control. Like the John Gruden getting fired was not his fault. That was not Mark Davis's fault.
And please correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like looking from afar, the Raiders have kind of – maybe this only applies to now that they've been in Vegas because in Oakland they were kind of almost in the background of a lot of these stories, but it was almost like the Raiders tried to speed up the rebuild process, right? Mm-hmm. Like they had this crop of young talents, and they would go get an Antonio Brown, or they would go get like a Chandler Jones, right? Like they would have like this young roster around one star player, and then it was like, are you rebuilding or are you reloading type of thing? And then they always had like, I mean, as long as Derek Carr's been there, they've had quality quarterback play.
Right.
There. So they weren't looking for a quarterback, but then that kind of put them have like a cap on their ceiling. And then they traded away Khalil Mack and Cooper for picks. But then those picks, like there was just no, like they were doing different things in different stages of that team. Like, why is a team that's trying to make the playoffs trading away their most talented players?
Look, here's what I hope this ends up being. I hope this ends up being the reset that the Kings got when Luke Walton was fired, because had a coach for the Sacramento Kings who was there for maybe a year longer than even everybody else wanted, who nobody really wanted to get hired in the first place.
Oh, that's not true.
Well, I don't know about that.
There were people excited for that. I was not one of them. But well, there are people excited.
I know you, Ben, and I were definitely not excited. I don't remember there being a ton
That's
of
a
positive.
Great, great comparison. Great parallel to make.
Right, exactly. So you have this coach in Sacramento who, it seems from the outside, especially after being there for a year, that the fans clearly did not want anymore. They were done. And it seemed that the team was done too. They bring in Mike Brown, and the whole organization just flips around. Now, I'm not saying that this is going to be the same thing, but Josh McDaniels and Luke Walton have some similarities between them in terms of alienating a locker room and a fan base.
Well, so I mean, I wouldn't go that far with Luke Walton. I don't think Luke Walton had the same, like, I think personality-wise, Luke Walton was a little bit more personable than McDaniels was from afar.
Right, but I guess the point that I'm trying to make is it was clear that in his last moments with the Kings, the fans did not want him there. It seemed that the media did not want him there. And in a way, and in some sense, it seemed like the team didn't want him there either. And I guess all that I'm trying to say is that that served as a perfect jumping point for the Kings to bring in Mike Brown. And it totally just brought a breath of fresh air to the franchise. Now, who ends up being that potential breath of fresh air for the Raiders, I don't know. But I feel like the situations aren't that dissimilar from each other, and hopefully this can serve as that. So, Mark Davis, I know you're a frequent listener. Please hear me when I say this. Take your time with making this head coaching position. If it ends up being Pierce, great. Great. If not, that's fine. Just bring in anybody better than what we got.
Let's not hire some guy that you have a personal relationship with.
That too.
Like, let's probably get some new blood. The NFL is developing, progressing at a faster pace, and let's get one of those offensive creative minds in there, not a guy that was a part of a decade-long run with the Patriots.
I wouldn't even mind bringing in a defensive head coach. Like, just somebody to bring some semblance of identity to the team, which they do not have at all. Like, what are the Raiders good at? Theoretically, they should be good on offense, right?
They got a good special teams?
They have an outstanding punter and an outstanding kicker, which they probably have the longest run in NFL history of great punters.
You think they start, like, their team meetings with that? Maybe. Hey, guys, we know that our long snapper is the best in the business.
Best. You go from Shane Leckler, right? And then right into AJ Cole, two outs. Shane Leckler is probably going to go into the Hall of Fame. Sebastian Janikowski is going to go. I know. Memorable Raiders in my 20-plus year career as a fan. And then Janikowski, and then now you have AJ Cole and Daniel Carr. And those guys are beasts. They're awesome. Special teams for the Raiders has been great in my lifetime. It's been amazing. I think some amazing kicks.
I think the Niners punter is Mitch Wisnowski. I don't know. He doesn't really come out very often.
Although I will say the most memorable play that I can think of off the top of my head as a Raider fan has been a kick. And that was when the Raiders basically walked off their season by beating the Chargers, which sent them to the playoffs and eliminated the Chargers from the play. That play, more so, I know they lost to the Bengals the next week, but that play was, I will never forget that play. And it was a kick. So, anyway, I feel great as a fan. I really do. And I hope Raider fans do as well, which consensus seems to be all positive from every Raider fan that I talk to. At the gym I work at, on Monday, I was working there, and the Raiders were obviously playing the Lions. I saw so many people come through the door with Raiders gears, and I talked to them. I talked to every person.
And when
who
they left,
that
they
door.
Didn't have Raiders gear on anymore. Yeah. They threw it in the trash.
Hey, whoa, what's wrong? Well, I talked to every Raider fan who walked through that door on Monday, and not one of them was in a bad mood. Everybody was smiling, happy, feeling good. It was a good day for Raider fans. It was a good day.
So good thing for that Detroit loss. Who knows? If they won that game, he might have bought himself like 4 more weeks.
You're right. You're right. That would have been something. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the NFL, and then we'll have to get to the NBA because update from last week, I still hate the Warriors. We'll get
maybe
to that.
Maybe more now.
Maybe more now, which I didn't think was possible. We'll get to that eventually. We do have some football to talk about. We obviously have to talk about the 49ers and their loss to Cincinnati.
We do?
That's three. Yes, we do.
Dude,
that's such
old news.
I don't care.
Niners are on a bye. Like, who cares?
I want to get your thought on your team having lost 3 in a row.
No, we just spent 20 minutes talking about the Raiders. We don't need to talk about the Niners.
Okay, you're just deflected now. But I know that you're in pain. I'm happy. I won't rub my joy in your face.
What if the news about Jimmy G getting benched came out earlier and the Niners traded for Jimmy G?
Do you genuinely think they would do that?
Well, oh God, no. I mean, they would be more likely to trade for any other quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo, just with the history. But that would just be funny. It's like, oh, well, he knows our offense and he's available.
So you're telling me you're not potentially excited to see Sam Darnold?
Nah, it's Brock Purdy's show, man. I'm not overreacting. Probably, I was thinking about it, and this is nice that we're now recording on a Thursday, because if this was Monday, I probably would be sitting here freaking out and panicking, because good teams don't usually lose 3 games in a row in an NFL year. I mean, they might go like losing 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4, but to not sprinkle in a win in a month, that's pretty tough. So yeah, I might be sitting there and like panicking. They're no longer in first place in their division and the Seahawks are there, but I'm choosing to not be a prisoner of the moment and reflect on the fact that people after 5 weeks were having Brock Purdy seriously in MVP conversations. And
yes,
now after 3 weeks, people want to have the Niners bench him, or now he's no longer deserving of a long-term deal and all these things after 3 weeks. And it's just like, okay, just as we can give him credit after 5 weeks, that doesn't mean I can all of a sudden take it away from him. So I'm going to tentatively hold my opinions on the play that brought. Let's be honest though. Purdy's played awful and he has lost the Niners these last 3 games. That comes down to his inability to hold on to the ball. He's turning over the ball way too much. I mean, those back-to-back interceptions were mind-boggling for me. I don't think I can sit down and watch every single play of a Niner game anymore, because it is taking years off of my life. Especially you add that with the Kings and them losing a Golden State. I mean, I'm going to probably die at 40 at this point. My heart just can't take it.
How do you feel about Chase Young to the 49ers?
Yeah, I think we kind of talked about it a little bit. It was like, with all the names on the Niners defensive line, they're just not playing well. Like, that has been a weakness for this team, and that has usually this Kyle Shanahan run has been the ultimate equalizer for this team. I love the value. I mean, a third-round pick for Chase Young. He's an expiring contract. If they want to franchise tag him at the end of the year, then they can do that. Or if it doesn't work out, then it's all good. But at the very least, he is probably the best backup in the league. Really, I mean, that depth of that team, they already went and got Randy Gregory from Denver as well. And he's jumped off the page a little bit. You can just see his talent. If Chase Young's able to add and beat one-on-ones the entire year, then this team is going to be electric. They're no longer, they don't have to blitz ever. Why would you call a blitz for this team if they have a lineup of Chase Young, Javon Hargrave, Eric Armstead, and Nick Bosa? Those are all Pro Bowl level players.
Well, that's really why they brought him over, right? Because Nick Bosa just can't get it done on his own. He needs some help. Unlike somebody in the AFC West, which I know.
So, of course, I'll concede that Crosby is having a way better year than
I'm just Nick Bosa.
And he's there's no way that Nick Bosa should win a Defensive Player of the Year over Max Crosby this season. I have been hearing, though, that Bosa still is high up there in QB pressures and still is doing a lot of these things. He's just not getting that final sack number. And I don't know. I really don't know what it is. I don't know if it's like the introducing Steve Wilkes and his defensive philosophies with the Niners sort of strategies and plans on defense. I mean, that really hasn't changed between Saleh, D'Amico, Ryans, and that's really been their recipe for success. But this year, for some reason, this defense is just getting gashed all over. But I believe the Niners will be fine, and they're getting healthier. Debo's already going to be coming back, and Trent Williams should be coming back right after him. So I'm not worried.
Yeah, with Debo coming back, I know that McCaffrey is, you know, the centerpiece of your guys' offense, but
he is.
They have not looked the same without Debo. They just haven't.
Yeah, and I don't know. I really don't know what that is, because I think there's, even if like Debo and Purdy haven't had the greatest connection the whole time that Purdy's been starting. So it's not like Debo was the best weapon for Purdy. I just don't. Maybe that was like the ultimate. That was like the last Infinity Stone for this team. It's like, we can't cover all of these guys, but when you take away one of them, oh, we just don't care about Juwan Jennings out there. We don't care about Ray McCloud running routes. And to be fair, Purdy's not really hitting them and forcing them to do those things. I was impressed, because Cincinnati's got a good defense. They do. They've played a lot better since that 0-2 start, 0-3 start. But the Niners were able to get explosive plays on them. Ayuk was there the whole day. Kittle looked really good running up the scene the whole day. And so I was encouraged a little bit. It's just, When you think about the Niners, it's the defensive line and it's the run game. And those are the two facets that have been struggling the most for this team. And I think that kind of comes down to coaching a little bit. If it's on the defensive side, it's defensive coordinator. And Kyle's got to figure out a way to get this run game back on track.
Well, at the end of the day, like you said, you think the 49ers will be fine. I really think they'll be fine as well. The Lions are outstanding.
Not better than the Niners.
The Eagles are outstanding.
Not better than the Cowboys.
Can be outstanding. The Seahawks, again, when you're looking at the top of the NFC, I think the teams that could give you a run would be the Lions, and it'd be the Eagles. And I don't want to count the Cowboys in that conversation, because you guys have had their number for a while now, so I'm not going to throw them in there, but for obvious reasons, they're a decent team. And the Seahawks, you know, they're within your division. So, I mean, I don't know the history between those two teams as well as you do.
Oh, it's
mean. Or how tough they play each other.
It's a mean one.
Would you say, because there always seems to be a team in like your own division that ends up being just a little bit like tougher than the other one. Like, I feel like the Raiders Chargers over the recent years, it's always like a one score game. Is the Seahawks 49ers kind of?
Yeah, definitely. Because I think the Niners have been, for some reason, kind of whatever both teams look like, the Niners have been able to win against the Rams. And that could be a Niner team that doesn't make the playoffs, and the Rams do end up having a playoff team. And for some reason, the Niners beat them. But whatever team the Seahawks look like, they could be in complete influx. Who knows, the quarterback could be Drew Locke, for all we know, or a really bad Russell Wilson, and they'll still have the Niners number. It doesn't make any sense, It's just whatever these coaching styles just kind of match up in a way that that game's going to be close and it's going to come down to a couple plays.
Yeah. Well, again, I think I agree with you. I believe the 49ers will be fine. They're still going to be – I would be shocked if they're not one of the final four teams remaining in the NFC. That would be honestly very, very surprising. And in line with surprises, I will say, as we're moving along in the show, I smoked you in picks this week, which was not something that has happened, I think, at all this entire season. I think the one week that I did beat you, it was, I think, just the difference between one game. However, this week I went 4-1. So I have crawled my way back to two victories, and we are sitting at 5-2 heading into week 9 for our picks. Now, obviously, the Titans-Steelers game already happened, so we cannot give our opinion on that.
Oh, I think the Steelers won.
Oh, okay, me too.
Well, last thing about the Niners, right? Because I think this isn't we really talked about it, and we were on it with Cincinnati. That's the other part of this thing, right? Cincinnati's back. They looked amazing. Joe Burrow looked
healthy,
like the best Joe Burrow's ever. He was rushing for a lot of yards. He was hitting Ja'Marr Chase, whatever. They looked great. But we didn't overreact to their slow start because you're like, oh, last year they started off really slow and they were able to make it. Last season, the Niners started 3-4. And everyone was saying, oh, this, like, what's wrong with Kyle Shanahan, all this stuff. They are in a way better spot at 5-3 with a half game back in the division from that point last season. And they were able to rattle off 10 straight wins, right, in that season. Why are we not giving this same Niner? Like, it's really weird that everyone just glosses over what happens in the last year. It's just like, oh, I'm worried about the Niners. I'm super worried about the Niners. No, it's going to be all right.
Yeah, you guys will be fine. The bye week's going to do you some good. Get everybody healthy. Get Debo back. And then – I'm going to look at your guys' schedule real quick because do you know off the top of your head who you play? Oh, the Jaguars.
Easy.
But you're at home. No, you're on the road. So you're in Jacksonville. Okay, so that's not an easy game to come back to. The Jags are pretty decent. So, but I think by that time you guys will be healthy. I really don't think you guys have anything to worry about. All right, let's move it along. I said last week that none of the games – and week 8 were all that sexy. And really the only one that was the Bengals 49ers. That ended up not being as close as I guess we all thought it was going to be. There were a lot of close games, granted maybe not on paper looking like they were going to be all that close, but they were. I mean, for example, the Eagles-Commanders game, I don't think anybody saw that being a 7-point game, or the Bills-Buccaneers. That didn't I don't even want to talk about the Jets-Giants game. So,
isn't it? It's so sad that a team gets to have a win after that game.
I know. There was over 1,000 yards total in combined punts for that game. And the quarterback for the Giants threw -1 passing yards. So everybody was worse for having watched that game. Anyway, I don't think everybody's going to be feeling the same way for this week. We have 3 outstanding games on the schedule, which we will get to and we will pick. And the one of the 3 is the first game of the Sunday schedule. That is the Dolphins-Chiefs game. I believe that game is in Germany. It's a 6:30 start. Technically, the Chiefs are at home. Who you got?
I'm going to take the Chiefs. I think this is a big statement game for them. Are we sure that Taylor's not going to be there?
I don't know if she's going to be there.
She touring somewhere in Europe?
She might be.
This week? I think the MO for the Dolphins has been they haven't been able to beat any good teams, and the Chiefs are the defending champs. I know this is a revenge game for Tyreek Hill. He's already started the talking earlier this week. But I have faith in the Chiefs for some reason, even though I think logic would say the Dolphins should win this game.
I'm going to say logic goes with Patrick Mahomes. So I'm going to pick the Chiefs, and I'm not going to think too much about it. until the Dolphins beat one of the behemoths of the league, I'm not going to – when it comes to facing the Eagles or when it comes to facing the Chiefs, I'm not going to pick them yet. So I'm just going to roll with the Chiefs because they've been there, done that, and I feel like this will be no different. Vikings-Falcons. Falcons are at home. I think this is going to be a Josh Dobbs game. I believe he's going to be probably starting for that game.
Yeah, definitely.
And Taylor Heineke.
Yeah, Taylor Heineke. So two new quarterbacks for these teams. Atlanta is 3.5-point favorites in this game. I'm going to take Atlanta because I think Heineke will be better than Desmond Ridder, but I don't know. I wouldn't bet on this game. You have no, we have no idea what both of these teams are going to look like.
No, no, not at all. I don't know, man. Josh Dobbs played really well for Arizona.
He did.
He already showed that he could, you know, pick up an offense and look relatively decent really quickly. I have no clue. The Falcons, they just lost to Tennessee. They beat the Buccaneers. Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I think I picked the Falcons, like, almost every week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know what? Since we have absolutely no feel, for this game, I'm just going to go Vikings.
Yeah, they're the hotter team, for sure.
I'm just going to go Vikings. Like, this is a total crapshoot for picks. For exactly why you stated, both quarterbacks are, well, brand new, basically. So, yeah, let's go Vikings. Bears-Saints. Take the Saints at home.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Packers at home against the Rams. That's an interesting game.
Yeah, do we know if Stafford's going to play? The last I saw, he's day-to-day.
See, Sean McVay provides new update on quarterback Matthew Stafford.
Oh, well, thanks, Sean. Did he text you, like, individually?
No, it was an email, actually.
Oh, was Gruden attached to that?
I was going to say, he CC'd Gruden on that, yeah. Yeah, he said, yeah, we're taking it day by day. He's really trying to take care of all those types of things. We'll continue to monitor. Day by day. So, yeah. He didn't say anything.
I'm going to assume that Stafford plays, and I would take the Rams.
Yeah, without any knowledge, again, without any concrete knowledge of whether or not he's playing, I think I'll – if he's not playing, then I would want – whatever. Yeah, let's go Rams. Patriots, Commanders.
Some reason the Patriots are favored at home.
Probably just because they're at home.
Is Sam Howell injured? No. Didn't they bring in a backup last week?
I'm looking. I'm seeing nothing about Howell, yeah.
I would take the Commanders.
He threw for 4 touchdowns against Philly.
Yeah, he played well. Him and Jahan Dotson played well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll take the Commanders as well. They had a good game against Philly. Hopefully they can keep rolling. I guess that's really my only justification for that. And the fact that the Patriots kind of stink. So, Ravens-Seahawks, that's an outstanding game. Battle Ravens are at home. I'll take Lamar.
I'll take the Ravens as well.
Cool. Texans-Buccaneers. Texans at home. Texans 3-4. Buccaneers 3-4.
Man, I really believe in this Texans team, but they have been letting me down.
I know, and the Bucs just played a really hard-fought game against the Bills. Although they're on a bit of a slide. They've lost 3 in a row.
Yeah. I will take Houston for – it doesn't make any sense because Carolina's worse than Tampa Bay.
I know. I'm only going to take Houston just because they're at home. I don't really have any – I'm just going to give it to the home team on this one. Browns-Cardinals.
Ooh. Is Deshaun back? Does it matter? I don't know.
I don't know if it matters.
Give me the Browns. They're 8.5 point favorites.
Yeah. I'm looking.
Is Kyler coming back?
He's off the injury report. Watson unknown still looks like. It looks like both teams, at least in the news that I have up here in front of me, it looks like both quarterbacks, it's not certain whether either of them are going to play.
This is a wild year. I feel like half the teams in the NFL don't know if their starting QBs are playing.
I know.
This week.
I know. In either way, in the absence of that knowledge, I'm still going to go with the Browns.
Yeah, that would be a tough game for Kyler to come back to.
Yes, it would be.
Defense.
It would be. You going to stick with the Browns?
Yeah.
All right, Colts-Panthers. I'll take the Colts on the road against the Panthers.
Give me the Panthers. I think this would be the first time I've picked the Panthers all year. Coming off that win. And they're at home. A little home cooking.
Fair enough. Home cooking for the Raiders as well against the Giants. I don't pick against my team, so give me the Raiders over the Giants.
Oh, this is going to be a big win. I think they're only a 1.5 point favorite. I think they easy cover. There's just something about having that interim coach come in that just lifts that team.
Either one of two things is going to happen. Either they're going to come out bouncing off the wall, or they're just going to be totally discombobulated. I don't think there's going to be any middle ground. And I'm so hoping that they just come flying through the gates with a breath of fresh air. So we'll see.
I think it's safe to say, like, bet on the Devonta Adams anytime touchdown.
Oh,
like,
I know.
He's going to go off. And it's going to be
If you're a fantasy manager and you have Devonta Adams on your team, Aiden O'Connell starting is the best thing that could have happened to you. It is the best thing that could have happened to you. Eagles Cowboys. This is the matchup everybody's been waiting for. I don't know. I know that there was at least some wishy-washy expectation on whether or not Jalen Hurts was going to play.
Really?
Because I think he was dealing with a little bit of an injury, but it doesn't appear that that is a story as of right now. Although earlier in the week, I know there was at least a little bit of worry that that was a factor, but that seems to have dissipated. So give me Philly. Give me Philly at home. Yeah, and that's also more of a heart pick too. Like I hope they clobber the Cowboys.
Yeah, I think they will. Yeah, just give me Philly.
Yeah. Bengals, Bills. Give me Cincy. I'm going to take Cincy at home.
Yeah, give me Cincy at home.
Okay. All right. Rolling with the hot team.
Do you think it's weird that they've, like, this game is Buffalo, Cincy, in Cincy, and it's a night game? And it's a year.
You mean from last year?
Yeah, from DeMar Hamlin.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure that's going to be all over the broadcast.
Yeah.
100%. 100%. And then we juxtapose the Bills-Bengals Sunday night game with the Monday night game, which is Jets-Chargers. Which, at the beginning of the season, would have been such an amazing matchup.
Yeah. It's got to be the Chargers, right?
I think so.
Jets just win these games.
But I know it is one of those things where, like, this does feel like a game because the Chargers seem to charger all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jets just keep finding ways to win.
Yeah, like, this is an opponent that they can find a dub against.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Chargers will give it to you any which way.
Totally. And then they'll give it back to you.
And they'll say, do you want some more? And they'll give you some more.
Yeah. They'll score 35 points on you. And then somehow at the end of the game, you'll be winning.
Yeah, it's really weird seeing, like, the Chargers in the first half are probably like a contender. And then the Chargers in the second half are probably the worst team in the NFL.
Yeah.
Got to be so frustrating to be a fan of that franchise.
But I think it's still the Chargers, no?
I can't pick against Herbert.
You can't pick against Herbert.
Fantasy quarterback.
Yikes.
I'm going to pick the Jets.
Okay. Look, I don't think you're out of line for that. I don't think
that's a crazy one.
No, I don't. I really don't. We're at three games right now.
We are. I don't usually like to be only at three.
I'll tell you what. There are some great games this weekend. The Seahawks, Ravens.
Yeah.
Chiefs, Dolphins. Cowboys, Eagles. And Bills, Bengals. Like, come on. That's a great weekend.
Are you sure about Kansas City?
I would not move from Kansas City.
All right, I'll take the Dolphins.
Okay. The Finns. All right, well then, I can flip on somebody. I'll find somebody to flip on here. Who can I? Who can I flip on?
You gotta flip on like SpongeBob.
I don't feel good about flipping between the Bengals and the Bills. I know that's probably the obvious one. However, I will take the Buccaneers.
I was looking at that one as well.
Over the Texans.
Okay.
All right, we are at five.
That's a good one. I think the Bucs win that game. Just like a game you don't expect the Buccaneers to win and they just run away.
Well, we shall see. All right, that is our week 9 predictions.
So what's the score in picks?
5-2. Ooh, 5-2. You've got a pretty substantial lead.
I feel like the Niners. I was sitting here all pretty and I just had an ugly loss.
It was a pretty ugly loss. We'll see what happens. I'm hoping I can if I can get this week, I will feel good about my chances of coming back. So we'll see. We shall see. All right. That'll close the NFL talk. We have to move over to the NBA. And man, oh man. Like I said earlier in the show, I still hate the Warriors. That loss that the Kings suffered to the Warriors on the road, 102-101, just made me want to curl up in my bed and not talk to anybody for the remainder of the night or early into next morning. I hate the Warriors. I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. And that's it.
That's it?
That's it. That's all I have to say. You got anything to say about them?
I mean, I was pretty encouraged by the level of effort and really the level of efficiency that the Kings played with without Fox. The
defense was nice.
I think Davion – and you know what? Steph had kind of an off game, but I feel like they created situations where they weren't allowing Steph to beat them. Yep. Having Draymond on the court just reminded me how much – I can't wait for Draymond to retire and go to TNT. And I just can't wait for that day. Like, they are just so annoying. People are like, oh my gosh, like, they're just showing like passion and they're just having fun on the court. And it's like, they're the biggest front runners and showboaters of all time. And if you criticize them with the level that they flaunt in front of you, it's like, oh, you're just haters. You're just hating on them. Like, you can't hate on Steph. But Steph is the biggest showboater in the entire NBA. He lets you know every single time he makes a three-pointer, and that's a lot of times. Right? So why do I have to then be like, oh, like, yeah, let me be respectful to Steph? It's like he's not respectful to any of his opponents or any of the opposing fans that he's playing. In Sacramento, he's the worst. And Draymond is even worse. They don't care. Like, and they get so mad when they're not liked. It's like, well, you guys do dumb stuff that make you not liked, especially by Kings fans. And I'm tired. For the last freaking 12 years, they've been destroying the Kings.
I know.
All right, that's it. That last episode was a lot of Warriors rant. I'm happy for Clay because he finally hit a shot. You know what? Clay's been awful this year. He hasn't been the same since they won a championship. So I'm happy that Clay hit that crazy shot over Davion Mitchell.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
I'm happy for him. Oh my gosh, he gets that moment. They're 2-0 against the Kings, and now the Kings aren't shit or whatever. And the Kings are last in the division. But you know what? I don't care. Because the Warriors are going to have that time where two of their old-ass stars are injured, and the Kings are going to be – the Kings looked great, and they're missing their best player. And the Warriors were sitting there like, oh, my God, this was such a great win. It's like De'Aaron Fox, the guy that's been averaging 40 on you guys, wasn't playing. Did you guys notice that?
Right. I was going to say, all things considered, the Warriors should have beaten the Kings by much more than they did. And the fact that the Kings were able to hang in there as long as they did, up until the very end, without De'Aaron Fox, who, by the way, I'm sick and tired of listening to people when they talk about the best guards in the league, not mention his name. You cannot formulate a list of best point guards in the league and not have him on that list. I'm tired of hearing that crap. There are not five or six guards in this league better than De'Aaron Fox. There's just not anymore.
Okay, yeah, not anymore. Keep going.
Look, I
come on.
And here's the thing, too. So the Kings this game, they out-rebounded the Warriors by 12. They had 48 rebounds. The Warriors had 36. They'd forced 17 turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I think if you're a Kings fan, you leave that game happy for two reasons. One, the defense that game was outstanding. Now, mm-hmm. I think a large part of that has to do with Davion Mitchell playing as long as he did. How just having him on the court is just going to make you better defensively, no matter what the lineup is. They obviously didn't score as much, but I think that is to be expected without De'Aaron, so I wouldn't necessarily take that as a negative. So I think you're happy about the defense, and I think you're just happy that they were able to hang in there. Look, all the Kings have to do while De'Aaron is out is just be 500. That's all they have to be. That's all they have to do. They have to tread water. They showed a stat during the game. The Kings were 4-5 last year without De'Aaron, which is exactly what they need. That's what they need. They're going to go into these next two games. They play the Rockets twice, and then they play the Trailblazers. So those are three teams that theoretically, even without De'Aaron, you should be fine against. I'm not going to bank them as automatic wins, but all things considered, there are a lot worse teams you could be facing without De'Aaron. So,
and we don't know how long he's out for.
No, we don't know how long he's out for. Then they play the Thunder and the Cavaliers.
Easy dubs. Impromptu game. I'm going to give you a name of a player, a point guard in this league, and you're going to tell me if you think they're better than De'Aaron Fox.
Okay. All right. I will be as objective as I possibly can be.
Our old buddy, Tyrese Haliburton.
No.
No, did have a great year last year. Average 20, 10, 1.5 steals, almost 50% field goal percentage. Trae Young.
No.
Hell no. Get that out of here.
He doesn't
play defense. Did average 26 last season, 10 assists.
Yeah, but he's just a liability on defense, which De'Aaron is not.
And he's a culture killer. The dude's had a different head coach every year.
Yeah.
Damian Lillard.
I think you still have to give Lillard that credit.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. 32 points last season, 7 assists. Only played 58 games. Felt like he played less than that. They shut him down pretty early. Ja Morant.
No. And I'm not going to say it's from a talent standpoint, but right now you can't have the conversation of Ja Morant without taking into account everything that's happened, player and person outside of the basketball world. So no, not right now. Is he maybe from a pure talent standpoint better than De'Aaron? Possibly. I'm not certain right now that I don't think Ja Morant's a better shooter than De'Aaron. De'Aaron has become a very good shooter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say no.
He shot 30% from three last season.
Who?
Ja.
Then no.
He averaged 26, 5 rebounds, 8 assists, 46% field goal percentage in 61 games last season. I would agree. I do not think if anything, they're on equal footing. But right. Ja has been getting way more publicity. I think from name value alone, people would think would be better, but De'Aaron gives you the same amount, and they've had the same amount of playoff success.
Yeah, like De'Aaron averaged 25 points last year, shot 51% from the field, 32% from the three-point line, four rebounds, six assists, and one steal.
And was clutch player of the year. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Probably.
Averaged 31 points, 4.8 rebounds, 5 assists, 51% field goal percentage, was All-NBA first team last season. But what did the Thunder do? What have the Thunder done while Shai's been there?
You know, it's one of those things where I haven't watched the Thunder enough, I think, to give a real objective opinion on it. So I don't know necessarily if he's a liability on defense or not. I think if you're just going to look purely at stats, everybody is going to point to Shai. I don't know. but like, I'm sure there are things that both of them do better than each other.
If we're talking about impacting winning, I guess you can sit here and say, and this would be weird, if anyone were to argue that the Kings have a better roster than someone, because that has not been the case in 20 years.
Right, but they do have a good roster.
But yeah, Sabonis has been able to add that second star factor, and Shai really doesn't have that. He might get that with if Josh Giddey takes a leap, or if one of the Jalen Williams takes a leap, or if Chet Holmgren just looks like an absolute animal, which he kind of does, at least on the defensive end. But his stats almost like empty calories in a way for me. Like, I get they had a great year, but they were like the 10th seed. They weren't the fifth seed, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
I agree. This one's easy. Steph.
Yeah. Yes.
Steph's better. I mean, is it that crazy? Like, they've gone head to head. Maybe it's just.
Oh, he's gone blow for blow with Steph every time.
Yeah.
But you have to give him that nod
for sure. And then for some reason they have Luka Doncic on this website listed as a point guard. But that's kind of a tough one. Luka's. Do we forget how good Luka is based off of last season?
Look, offensively, I would say yes. Defensively, I don't know. And again, that's something you have to take into account when you talk about De'Aaron. He is not a liability on defense. Now, does he have to? And that's partially because Mike Brown sort of demands that from everybody on the team. Like, he's not going to let you get away with just playing half-ass on defense. I know the Kings aren't the greatest defensive team of all time.
Oh,
they're not.
They aren't. They're close though.
They might be, but it's not from a lack of effort. So when you watch the Kings play and you watch De'Aaron play, you have to take into account the whole thing. We're not talking about best offensive point guards in the leagues. I'm talking about totality. And he is a really, really good on-ball defender. Now, he doesn't always have the chance to demonstrate it because I think that's partly because we have Davion Mitchell. Like, at the end of the game, typically, if you need a defensive stop, Davion's going to be on the court. And he's going to be taking the ball handler. But the nice thing is that when you have De'Aaron and Davion on the floor at the same time, if there does get to a situation where they do have to switch, as a fan, I don't feel like you lose a ton of confidence when De'Aaron is playing defense. It's not like, oh, crap. Well, now De'Aaron's guarding. It's like, okay, no, he still got him. Like, I don't – for as great of an on-ball defender as Davion is – I don't think there's a seismic drop-off between him and De'Aaron.
No. This is interesting. Kyrie.
No. And look, offensively, again, he's probably one of the greatest offensive players to ever play the game of basketball. But again, you have to take into account totality. He's a liability on defense, and he's a complete headache off the court. Now, I can't necessarily say that all of that is his fault. I don't know if all of that is his fault. But if we're taking into account the whole package, I would say no.
I agree. I definitely agree. There's other guys like Darius Garland, I think is underrated. Definitely isn't better than Fox. Jalen Brunson.
Jamal Murray.
Yeah, Jamal Murray was here. And I think this website definitely has him, Jamal Murray, way too low, in my opinion. I think Jamal Murray just works with Jokic, and he's proven time in different years, different playoffs, that he is a clutch performer, that he can just take over a game.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe is it because Jamal Murray has been on that bigger stage? I feel like this is like the same. How do you compare SGA and Fox when Fox has been on that bigger stage for longer? And right. Jamal has been on that bigger stage longer than Fox. So how do you compare those two? I'd have to give the edge to Jamal Murray, of course, because he won a championship.
Right.
For sure. And has been doing it longer.
Yeah.
No, he also had kind of a, like, not that good regular season last season coming off of, gosh, what did he have? ACL the year before? Yeah. ACL that he was recovering from, so that could be the thing, but it's just interesting. True. I'd love to see. I wouldn't be surprised if Fox were to carry the Kings to at least a second round.
I would not either. And obviously we watch him every day, so it's
every day,
so we have, and we don't necessarily have the privilege of watching everybody else every single day, but still It bothers me when you hear people talk about the best guards in the league, and it just seems like he just gets passed over for reasons, again, I just don't understand.
Yeah, I don't. I think the Kings in general are getting slept on.
A little bit. And I guess that's reasonable. They've been bad pretty much forever. But they ain't bad anymore, guys. They're just not. Looking up at the Western Conference right now,
mm-hmm.
the Mavericks are 4-0.
Yep.
The Warriors are 4-1. The Nuggets are 4-1. The Pelicans have moved their way to 4-1. Kings are sitting at 10th right now. Obviously, it's the beginning of the season, so I wouldn't take much into standings at the moment. I was curious to see if, because the Pelicans are 4-1, and I wanted to see how Zion had been playing, because I don't feel like I've heard anybody mention his name
mm-hmm.
throughout the year so far. And it looks like in the most recent game against the Pistons, he wasn't playing. He played in the previous game before that. Is he hurt again?
Maybe they're just resting him. It seems like he's been playing well, bringing him back. But to me, he looks the same.
Okay, it says rest. Zion Williams rest. Okay.
To me, like, he just looks the same that he always has.
He's great when he plays.
He's uber efficient on offense, and that team is a million times better with him on the floor.
Do we think that the Mavericks 4-0? Do we think that the Mavericks that high is going to hold?
No. I think there's always a natural life cycle with Kyrie Irving teams, and that cycle's kind of been like in hyperspeed the last couple of times. Like with Cleveland, it was really nice in the beginning and ended with a championship, and then it went sour
mm-hmm.
Pretty quickly. With Boston, really cool that first year, and then it went sour. With Brooklyn, do you remember when he was playing for Brooklyn when KD was out with the Achilles? Like, yeah. He looked like the best, like he could be MVP. And then
Oh, yeah.
That flame out for that franchise was amazing. And now you have this whole Dallas situation of, yeah, it's like, it's awesome, Luka. I mean, I think this is more of a, like, a credit to Luka and his excellence.
Well, yeah, because, like, Kyrie's been out, so.
Luka is the playing, like, one of the best players in the league, which he is. I mean, he's a top-five talent.
Yeah, he's a beast. He's an absolute beast.
Denver's still that good.
Denver's never really didn't lose anybody.
The Clippers. So that's the big thing that we didn't talk about. James Harden traded to the Clippers. The most Clipper move. I think they've now got the collection of James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George. If this team was in 2016, this team would be the greatest team of all time.
Oh, man.
But it is 7 years later.
Kawhi's still that dude. I mean, against the Lakers, 38 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. He's still...
He can do that every once in a while, yeah.
Look, I've made it very clear over the course of our podcast life cycle that I have never been a fan of James Harden.
Oh, and crystal clear.
All of the belly aching and, I guess in his case, belly increase in sizing.
His belly wasn't aching, man. It was full.
I know. Don't
even worry about it.
With everything that he's done, from the Rockets to the Nets to the Sixers to the I'm unhappy here.
How do you think it ends with the Clippers? That,
oh, my God. I'm done with him. I'm done with him. I remember having arguments with Josh in high school about whether or not James Harden was one of the best players in the league, and I kept saying no.
He won the MVP. He finished top 3 in MVP voting, I think, for like 5 years.
And that was all great. Great. Good for him. But look, my whole thing was –
Jason's not buying it.
I'm not buying it. And, you know – and listen, why would you? Why would you? Who's benefited from having James Harden on their team?
It's just really –
which team?
It's really weird that it's like the Clippers, outside of Kawhi, they've collected 3 of the biggest playoff disappointers in recent memory. Paul George played a lot better in the playoffs. That last run when Kawhi got injured and they made it to the Western Conference Finals against the Suns a couple years ago, he was playing great. Russell Westbrook has never shown that he can be a playoff performer. James Harden has unfortunately shown more times than not that he is his inability to carry a team and even be like serviceable. Like there's points where he'll go for 30 or 40. And then there's other nights where he won't score 10.
Right.
And it's like, can we just get 20 from you, James? Like, can you just consistently hit an open 3? For us, and I think that's the biggest thing for this Clippers team. Like, are they getting a James Harden that is going to decide to be engaged and make a shot? And you're going to love this. This team, I think, still has to play defense, right?
Yes.
Like, it's not one of those things where they just shoot open shots and yet, like, there's 2 teams on each side and they're both shooting and, like, time runs out and see who makes the most. Like, they have to play defense against the other team.
Yep.
How is that going to work?
Again, in 2016, having Paul George and Kawhi Leonard out there would have been...
Two best perimeter defenders in the league.
Oh, man.
Compared to... they were compared to Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen.
Oh, yeah.
When they joined up in 2019. But this is 2023. Like, Kawhi is... possession by possession... can be a great defender, but he's not giving you that every single time. Paul George isn't giving you that like elite level defense every single time. James Harden has never given anywhere close to like average defense. And Russell Westbrook, I mean, he's just not. He gives you effort, I think, is the biggest thing.
Yeah,
that Westbrook gives you, but on defense, like, he's kind of a liability as well.
Again, I'm done with the James Harden thing. What team has benefited in the long run from having James Harden? None. I'm sorry.
There was a couple fun Houston teams.
He was really good in Houston, but again, it didn't necessarily amount to anything. And my whole thing has always been, and I have always sided with players who play both ways. Basketball, you can't. You can be considered a great player and only be an offensive great player. I get that if you're just otherworldly. But truthfully, I don't care what anybody else says. Offense and defense, in terms of importance in the NBA, are on equal playing fields. They always have been and they always will be. It's one of the best things about basketball is that you have to be good at a lot of things. You can't just specialize in one thing. And it's very different from the NFL in that respect. It's very different from baseball in that regard. You have to be good or at least capable at a lot of different things. And if you just are a liability on defense, I have a tough time granting you the mantle of, you know, one of the best players in the league. And yes, that is my own specific analysis and bias. I grant you that. But my argument would be, again, who has benefited in the long run from having James Harden, this amazing offensive talent, on their team? None of them. And it's just led to headache after headache after headache. And again, I honestly don't even care that he's on the Clippers. I really don't.
You know what? Immediately when I saw that, I was like, well, I still think they're the worst team in that division. Really? I honestly still think that they're going to finish the worst in that division.
They might. They might.
Because I don't think this, oddly enough, I think in a playoff series, I think they would beat the Kings, because I don't know how the Kings can guard Kawhi and Paul George. Like, that's just a really bad matchup for the Kings. Like, Keegan Murray would have to develop, and he's like making that effort to be a better defender, but he would have to like a defensive stopper at that point for that to happen. But in a regular season setting, I can't imagine the Kings finishing with a worse record than the Clippers.
Yeah, I don't. I just hate every other team in the league, you know? I hate them all. Okay. I hate them all.
Okay. I hate them all. I was just looking at, like, when the last time James Harden received an MVP vote.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was, like, 2020.
Yeah.
Like, he hasn't been the same James Harden. You were saying, like, we were kind of alluding to maybe Houston Harden was, like, the last time that a team, like, really got something from Harden.
I mean, he had spurts last year in the Phillies playoff. Like, he effectively won them two games last year.
Yep.
But, yeah, no, you're right. Houston was when he was, like, the sole reason for their winning.
Yeah. Like, since his MVP win in 2018,
mm-hmm.
It's just been downhill.
Yep.
Well, he did average like 35, I think, the year after. But
good for him. Good for him.
You're so mad. So if the Kings traded for James Harden, do you think you like wouldn't root for the Kings?
Oh God, I would ask. I would.
That's tough. That's a tough dilemma.
That's a tough
question.
That would be worse than the Raiders doubling back and going, sorry, Josh. We didn't mean to fire you. Come on back.
10-year deal. Come on back.
Oh, no.
No, it would. So if, like, the Raiders were to sign Bill Belichick, do you think you could be a Raiders fan anymore?
Yeah, I'd be. I think I'd be okay with that. I'd rather have
who's the guy that you hate the most in the NFL?
In the NFL? I don't know.
Brady? No, you respect Brady too.
No. Yeah, Brady. I don't know. You know who I've grown to dislike a lot for a lot of what he said recently? Was a guy who I used to love. And that was Russell Wilson.
Oh.
Like, some of the stuff that he says is
he just doesn't come off like a good teammate.
No, he doesn't, and that also is a big no-no for me. I don't know. I don't think there's anybody in the NFL that I wholeheartedly despise. Like, but again, the NFL is not necessarily as, I think, personable as the NBA. Yeah. So, I don't know. But to wrap this whole thing up.
Wrap it up in a little ball.
Yeah, to wrap this whole thing up. If you're a Warriors fan, you're a bad person. I don't have any.
Yeah, just go away.
I don't have anything to say to you. You don't pay your taxes. I don't. You drink
soggy. No, they pay more taxes down there.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
They actually pay the most taxes.
I hope if you're a Warriors fan, you drink like lumpy milk this weekend or something like that. I don't know.
Like, when are the Warriors going to turn into Detroit?
I don't know.
You know, like, they deserve that. Like, San Antonio went on that crazy run, and then Tim Duncan,
yes.
Manu, and Tony.
And now the Patriots have come back to earth.
Right. Like, there's a time for all these franchises, and the fans can't sit there and be like, oh, we suck. It's like, Patriots fans? No.
You had your time.
You guys won way more than you should have.
Yes, you had your time.
You need to suck up this whole Mac Jones stuff.
Yes. Yes. I agree.
Is it just going to have to be when Steph, it's like retires when he's 45?
When he retires, yeah. I think it's going to be when he finally leaves.
Because that dude's better.
I know. He just seems to get better every year. I was talking to Natalie about this the other night, and we don't have much more time left, but I was just saying, like, LeBron James, I think people are going to regard as the best player of our generation. But again, I go back to, I think Steph has done more things that I just kind of shake my head and go, there's only one guy in the league that can do that. There's only one.
Dude. Well, I think Steph right now, easy to say Steph is a better player than LeBron. But what LeBron is doing this season is actually kind of nuts.
They're both insane.
The dude for year 21, which is – that's the weird part. If we're just going to go back to this James Harden stuff, James Harden has won an MVP more recently than Steph Curry. Which player is better right now? Like,
yeah.
Like, there's – you can either go two ways. You can take care of your body like James Harden, or you can take care of it like Steph.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can't sit there and tell me, oh, yeah, well, they play differently. Not, like, really.
Right.
They're both very perimeter players and, like, hit the floaters inside.
And so much, like, for that minute restriction, by the way, for LeBron James.
They're like – LeBron just whispered in Darvin Ham's ear, "Hey man, we got to win this Suns game."
Be like, I know I what beat you KD. Said. I know you guys had to say that, but we're not doing that.
You think that was just like a story to like lose against Denver, like in case they lost? It was like, yeah, let's put LeBron in minutes restriction. Like, that's the only reason why we lost to Denver.
So 42 minutes against the Clippers. That was their most recent game. 39 minutes against the Kings. So
did he really?
Yeah. 39 minutes against the Kings. Magic, let's see. 33. Okay, so we're a little bit lower. A little bit lower there.
He should be playing 33 minutes against the Magic.
Yeah, he should be. But, I mean, that game was only a three-point game. and then what about the Suns? Let's see. Let's see, 35. All right, so, like, again, that doesn't look like a minute restriction to me.
I thought he was trying to be under 30 every game.
That's what I thought, too.
But let's just face it, Anthony Davis isn't that good.
Or he is that good, but he's not going to be the guy who's going to carry you in the same way that LeBron will. Still. Which is unbelievable to say.
They've been getting a good D'Angelo Russell as of late.
Yes, they have been. And then Prince, what is his name?
Tayshaun?
Yeah.
Taurean?
Yes, Taurean. Yes. He's been playing really well, too.
Austin Reaves hasn't looked good at all.
No, he's gotten off to the Kevin Huerter start.
Hey, Kevin Huerter didn't play that bad.
No, he didn't. He didn't. But all right.
Keegan still can't hit a mother effing shot. What's he shooting? That's the big thing with the Kings. Like, we can sit here and say, oh, yeah, they're 2-2. Have they had a good shooting game?
Not really. Not really. But they're 2-2, so we'll take it. We'll take it.
Can they hit the broadside of a barn?
It is one of those things where when they are all clicking, they just blow teams out. Like, they just have the capability of just obliterating everybody, which is crazy. But they don't all fire on the same night all that frequently. When they do, it's amazing. But it's also like, you say that as like, you know, that can be a negative thing, but also at the same time, like, it's kind of a positive thing. Like, even if not everybody's not hitting, generally they have one or two guys that can keep them in a game with their shooting. So, like, there's a give and take with that. So, all right. Well, we had a lot to talk about. We had a lot to catch up on.
I know you're ending it. I know you're trying to end it here. The guy that's been attempting the most threes, Keegan Murray, he's shooting 27%.
Don't worry. That'll get up to like 50 by the end of the season.
Kevin Herter is shooting 22%.
They'll get back into it. I'm not worried about
it. Kevin Herter is shooting 29% from the field.
I'm not worried about either one.
Keegan, he's a little better. 36% from the field.
Not worried. Not worried in the slightest. They'll be fine.
But HB is a whopping 50%.
I know. That man's been playing amazing.
He's just a silent killer.
We talk about longevity in the NBA. I mean, Harrison Barnes.
Yep.
He's one of those guys. So, all right, everybody. Thank you all so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the basketball, unless you're a Warriors fan. And enjoy the football. There's an outstanding weekend of football ahead of us. So a lot to talk about next week. And happy November to everybody. Great month for numerous reasons. All right. We will see you all very soon.
I see what you did there. I know what's happening in November.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
25.
Actually, tonight is last little bit. Happy birthday, Mom.
Oh, she's happy 55. Birthday.
55 today.
55. I have not been
over. It's crazy because she doesn't look older than 30.
I have not seen her in a while. It's been a long time.
She looks great.
It has been a long time. I feel like a terrible adopted son. I feel terrible.
You're telling me you didn't get her something for her birthday?
No, I didn't. Oh. I did not. Well, tell her I said happy birthday.
I'll tell her tomorrow.
Okay. All right, y'all. Have a wonderful weekend.
See ya.